Episodes of Tidbits. Tidbits Pod 36. All right, chums. This is the first late recording in a while, and hopefully it's not overpowering. But I think they're parakeets, some kind of feathered beast. They're all going crazy, going home to nest, get freaky. I wonder how much bird fucking is going on above my head. But as is life in the woods, other than relatively peaceful, sun setting, what's not. But welcome to Tidbits Pod After Hours. Which makes no difference whatsoever when I record these for you, but just setting a scene. And still light. And similar to any good 90s pop compilation, I'm out here getting more steps in. So, Oh, Jesus Christ. How's it still muddy, man? Yeah, I'm out in my new shoes, so we'll see if I can keep them that way, keep them nice. But it's 9 p.m. and all is tasty. Speaking of times, whilst we're loosely on that controversial subject. I mean, if you use AM and PM, that's enough. That's fine. Like, we know what that means. There's no need to sort of double down and say AM in the morning. Like, I think it's a new thing. Maybe I'm just noticing it. But you're going to start hearing this now. People just saying things like, oh, mate, I had to get out of my shack at 6 a.m. in the morning. I normally walk my dog at 7 p.m. in the evening. And you've already said the a.m. and p.m. Leave it there, please. there's me gripe. But if you don't believe me, but listen out for it. And now I've said it, you're going to notice it everywhere. Well, actually, we can make a game of it. Like, if you do hear someone say 7 a.m. in the morning or alike, you can just kind of write them a quick note, whip your pad out, and just write on it in nice bubble writing, Jack Tibble says you're a wanker, and then nice and bold on a bit of card or something, and then stand back at a safe distance and kind of let them read it. And hopefully we can get that thing nipped in the bud using the powers of... well, what is that? You're probably more of the arsehole for putting it out. But I think I can get away with it here because... maybe I can't get away with it. But it's turned into a bit of an aggressive start. So let's reel it back. And kind of appreciate that we're now at Tidbits Pod 36. Incredible. What seemed like an insurmountable milestone of 35 is crumbled beneath us. Here we are. But no one thought we'd reach these heights. And it's lovely. So this is a very, very special milestone episode. It's nice to sort of celebrate when you do hit those moments until we hit the big 3-7, which, got to wheel out something very, very special for that, because that's even better, some might say. Oh, you hear why it's quiet here? There's a... I wish I knew, but it's a bird of prey, big lad, circling So all the little shit ones have just run away. And yeah, well, you can still hear them, but they're further. Oh man, it's like a kestrel. Who knows, like, someone look up birds of prey local to Riddlesdown Common and tell me what that is. I could get a photo, but I don't have a separate camera tomorrow recording, don't want to lose it. But anyway, a lot's happened since the last recording, hasn't it? It's been a little while. So if you cast your minds back, I mean, remember Tidbits Pod really, really got behind the Euros, the football, and off the back of that, I mean, the Tidbits Pod plugging alone, and the great support of you guys, I mean, the Euros actually became quite a popular thing. In the final, almost filled up Wembley. Crazy to think, isn't it? Like, I'm glad we put the word out. But yeah, that's the problem with referencing kind of current affairs. You've got to keep up with shit. So this is ultimately late, and we've all grieved already. But you know, I properly got into, like, 10 toes into that tournament, balls deep, and yeah, pretty much watch every single game. Loved the vast majority, and yeah, had a fucking good month as well doing so. So, bit of a shame it's over. But yeah, I was trying to keep up with the England progress on here and do a little pre-game or post-game analysis. But, you know, there's better people doing that. So, I don't know, kind of got put off. But yeah, after Ukraine, got a bit nervous, you know, about the semis. And then I felt kind of conflicted after that semi, like after the dive to beat Denmark. That didn't really feel great. Like, if that wasn't England, I'd have hated it. But obviously, scumbag, I'm loving it. Just like, fucking, and then buzzing for the final. But yeah, I didn't want to jinx it, so kind of left that. And then time got away. And then after the final, it was all the, well, all chat of the racist cunts that sort of spoiled the whole thing. So, you know, me coming on and saying my bit. Again, there's better people saying that, but it's a shame. I mean, I think I heard this on another podcast, Quickly Kevin or something, but there was chat, or maybe like rumours or whatever, that England was going to try and host a World Cup or pair up with the Irish to like properly host the Euros down the way. But you know, that's not going to happen now, is it? Like, all the scumbags. And like, it's such a fine line, isn't it? Like, I was loving the support, like the tops off, the bellies out. Like, you know, that's all the fun. But then it's always just a fine line, isn't it? Like, always, well, maybe it's just with England that we get reported. It's probably worldwide, unfortunately. But just spills over into this horrible shit. And yeah, we shouldn't really, I don't know, like, until that's gone, we shouldn't really maybe not let the fans back until but then, you know, they'll be watching on TV or whatever. It's tricky, isn't it? But fucking whatever. It's been a mad few days, and that was a bit of a, well, a massive dampener on what was already a disappointment. But, you know, shifted the focus in the wrong way. But yeah, the actual final day, Jesus, incredible. Like, cringy, obviously, but incredible. I was up in Brixton, like the southern tip of London's fashionable Victoria line, and I was close to the village, kind of Electric Avenue-ish. You know, there's the other station that's not the underground, like in that little bit. And yeah, outside in the rain, so everyone just bought their own tins. And yeah, I was with mate Jeffrey, and Jab, some of Jab's mates, like one of his housemates was from Guinea-Bissau, so, well, that was nice meeting him, fucking bit of a ledge. And yeah, anyway, long story short, went way over the top with the red stripes. Watched the game. England lost on penalties. I cried in front of everyone, and then went home on the 109/403, sort of looking moody out of the window, and listening to Delta Goodrum. So, I mean, must have sort of looked like I'd just been jilted, like jilted at the altar in a bad soap opera, but awful. Before the game as well, I've got to admit it, I think I've got to go look at the sea, but yeah, I was very much doing the so goods in Sweet Caroline. I was leading the so goods, loving life. What a wanker. Until next time. But still, the main takeaway is the feeling that, well, beating Germany in the second round, that was fucking brilliant. And I might have said it at the time, but after that, it did kind of feel like the rest of the tournament didn't matter. Like, if, oh my God, if that was the final, holy shit. Whatever. But yeah, amazing. And I suppose all I can say is, looking forward to the next tournament. Looking forward to sharing more content. Looking forward to domestic leagues and seeing the next international teams. And hopefully in Qatar we'll bring back that trophy. But yeah, what else? Went up to London's fashionable Brick Lane, East, E1 represent, because I wanted to settle once and for all the bagel shop argument. So, which is better, the one with the white sign or the yellow sign? More lovely London-centric content for you, but if you do go to London, and if you like a bagel, get on down. It's bloody, well, both are nice, but yeah, judging purely, I did a little test. It was quite a successful lunch. And judging like purely on the quality of the salt beef ones with the gherkins and the mustard and shit, it's got to be the one with the white sign, like all day. Absolutely no competition. So I don't even see how this is the thing. I'm probably like boiling a lot of blood or whatever, but if you're a yellow sign fan, get in touch. Like, have I missed something? But yeah, I'm glad I did a little thing. Maybe now do a comparison of all the curries. But that would take a lifetime, but more than up for that. Speaking of food, oh, Lincoln. Abe Lincoln. I was in a little cafe yesterday, having beans on toast and a black tea, because I'm fucking wanker. And right, so this girl, she walked in with her mate, and she's mid-story, so I knew it was going to be good. So I sort of like turned down my headphones, but obviously didn't take them off, didn't want to make it obvious. Clickety clickety clickety. And yeah, she goes like, yeah, he's like, you're so childish. You're just childish. So I'm like, fuck off. You're just cross-eyed. Because he is. Yeah, he is. But so already this sort of goes on, going on about this cross-eyed man and how he was calling her childish. But yeah, normal cafe. Here's a quiz. What do you reckon she ordered? Like, get it in your head now. It's not a fancy one, so, you know, it normally does breakfasts and whatever. So think it in your head now. Little clue, it's not savoury. So she goes up to the counter, like her mate's sitting down, so she's obviously ordering for them both or something. Bold as brass. And she's like, "Oi, mate, I want an apple crumble with bear custard." Bear custard. Like, every detail of that is fucking perfect. Like, you know, she's been in for a kind of a morning crumble a few times, and last time wasn't happy with the sauce portion. And so threatening as well for such a kind of, you know, innocent food, delicious morning crumble. But yeah, it was probably about like 10 odd in the morning as well, 10 a.m. in the morning, as she'd have said. And God, the more I try and explain or kind of contextualise the shit of this story is going to get, but I remember just sort of sitting back in my chair, the bear custard still ringing in my head. Like, I just had this kind of contentment, like you get from looking at a waterfall or something, and being like, yep, that wouldn't have happened at home, and today's going to be a good day. So that was a nice positive start. And all right, this is Lucian's theme, so I might call it up at the crack of dawn tomorrow. Yeah, I'd say one time or another, every bloke in the office is sort of woken up at the crack of dawn. What? Yeah. Oh, actually, office chat. Here's a little tidbit to leave you on. The actress that played Dawn, actress, Lucy Davis, she is the daughter of Jasper Carrot. Have I said that before on here? What's that? Who's Jasper Carrot? Well, you know Dawn from The Office, Lucy Davis, you know, she's in The Office and like UK Office and Shaun of the Dead and shit. Jasper Carrot, he's her dad. That's mad, isn't it? It's, yeah, I've got the alarm set for 5:30 tomorrow. That's right, 5:30 a.m. in the fucking morning. Cinco y media de la mañana. Demi cinq heures du matin. Early. Like me and Robbie Davro up and about. Going to do a bit of gymming. Lads. Press ups and shit. Loving life. And, well, I said to him, like, do you know, man, I've been trying to build up my arms and lats and shoulders, delts in the gym, and it's not really working, and starting to feel a bit down about it. Like, okay, I couldn't build those muscles, and I'm feeling a bit down. And he said, you need to chin up, mate. Chin ups. That conversation didn't happen, but oh, hit a hay fever kicking in. Got a lovely little geeky nasal twang that'll surely ensure the quality of the rest of this. Okay, yeah, I've got rid of that. But yeah, should be fun. I don't know how well I'm going to be feeling, because it's going to be late by the time I'm back. But yeah, it's either going to be fun or fucking awful, and I'm expecting nothing in between, but looking forward to it either way. Then might go over and watch either Space Jam. All right, mate. either Space Jam, because that comes out tomorrow, or the Summer of Soul, the Questlove. You know, it's like a Woodstock in Harlem in 69, and it's all happening whilst the moon landings are going on. Tell you what, I haven't even seen it, but looks fucking good. Looks like it'll have a good soundtrack. Stevie's in the, and Nina are in the into trailer, so that'll probably be me, or I'll just sleep in and waste the day. So that's the options we've got. It's yeah, Robbie Davro, he messaged me after the last podcast saying he'd enjoyed his shout out. So maybe what I'll do, like, I could call this one the Robbie Davro special, and then not mention him, but, well, too late now for that. Maybe I will. It's not going to be funny either way, it needs a title. But yeah, I've got to explain for you sort of beautiful, patient bastards that aren't in my immediate friend group. I'm not chums with the 80s light entertainer Bobby Davro. You know, the guy that I know because he hosted a few series of Run the Risk, the original Gunja in the 90s. But yeah, I'm talking about mate Robbie D, from all the way back in school. My almost neighbour, compadre. Yeah, good lad. But speaking of Bobby Davro, OG Bobby Davro, do yourself a favour and yeah, this is class. So find an outlet, a video player or whatever, and then type in, like, you basically want to type in, like, Bobby Davro in the stocks, or Bobby Davro face plant, or, you know, something like that. And it almost sounds like it's going to explain itself, but it's just it's brilliant. So I've probably spoken about this on this before, because this is one of the staple videos, so apologies if I'm repeating, but have I? But yeah, it's the one where he's on stage and there's, oh, it's Light Entertainment royalty, aka Operation U-Tree royalty. You've got Jim Bowen, the guy from Bullseye, Lionel Blair, who's, well, he's not the guy that ran the Labour Party from 95 to 2007. Don't quote me on that. But it's the other Blair. That's no Linda Blair. Whatever. But yeah, Lionel Blair. Anyway, and Keith Chegwin. And they're all there sort of... like, Bobby Davro's up in the stocks. And they're just in front of him for some reason. Like, they're linking arms and singing... like, always look on the bright side of life. Like, between them, there's probably about 50 years of Butlin's experience and all those kind of, you know, red coats and whatever else they call them. So it's premium entertainment. And also, of course, they've got a can-can going on. And Davro, he's like, he's up above them in these well, what we know are poorly constructed stocks. But, well, enough to do the job of holding him, but maybe not so stable. So his hands and head, they're locked in, like you would be. And they've pulled his trousers down for bants, you know, because it's lads on tour or whatever, stag do. And then the whole platform thing and the stocks falls forward. Davro goes forward, like, face right into the floor. Like, it's fucking like, oh. Like, he can't put his hands out for protection because they're sort of in the brace things, and he just slams down and like, he sort of does a poor little swanton bomb or whatever, but he smashes down. The can-can immediately ends, and all you hear is his cheggers. He's like, oh, Bobby. He runs over. Don't touch him. Oh, Bobby. And yeah, it's fucking insane. Like, how the hell did that happen? I want context. I want everything. But I mean, you know, it's one of my favorite videos, up alongside kind of, you know, Bear Grylls with the bees, and I watched one yesterday of a chimp feeding an apple to a tortoise. So that's the caliber I'm working with. But yeah, and you can enjoy it as well, because I say you don't have context, but you know he was all right. Like, all he had was a broken nose, which could have been, you know, he could have been paralyzed or whatever, but because you know he's fine and it's not a too serious injury, that's why it's funny. And because it's Bobby Davro. But I mean, I've, as comparison, I made the mistake of liking a few skateboarding videos, Instagram, and now in my recommendations or whatever, like the rolling videos, it kind of just sets me immediately up with a load of injury clips of face plants and shit. And I don't know, they'd have captions like, gnarly man, dude ate the pavement, bro. And I mean, which you think, because of the Davro clip, which I adore, I'd like them, but because they don't give you the kind of the whole story, you're, after watching one of those, you're left thinking like, oh shit, well, that person could have actually been really hurt, or I mean, they might have even been killed, you know? Like, the skull is not the most forgiving thing, but yeah, that's some are actually fucking grim. But yeah, anyway, watch the Davro one. It's lighthearted. It's vintage television. Early 90s, I think, by the sort of graininess of it, you know what I mean? It's colour, but it's grainy. But yeah, what I'm going to do, actually, I'm going to fish it out for you, and I'll load it up to @TidbitsPo, the show's Instagram. You can go and have a look there. So that's worked out nice. Subscribe whilst you're there. Tell a mate, whatever, share it around. And yeah, to get in contact with the show, message tidbitspod@protonmail.com. And yeah, I got asked why I had a Proton Mail address. And other than being cool, it's because Tidbits Pod, it was taken on all the more popular email providers, and I've got no patience for kind of underscores and shit, so I just went with Proton Mail. It's all ultimately the same shit, isn't it? Like, Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, Snapchat, TikTok. If you really boil them down, they're all just basically emails, aren't they? Really? Chain mail? Whatever. Just, yeah, reply is just a like. It's just easier. But, yeah. Anyway, like, oh my God. What a snappy ending. Thanks for listening, you absolute gem. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And hasta luego.
And put your hand in my lap, Harry. That's it. And remove my robe. That's it. Good. And can you feel the magic, Harry? Good.